We all of kids have probably played the three wish game. If you had three wishes, what would they be? There's one rule in the three wish game. The one thing you can't wish for is what? More wishes. You can't do that. There was a 9-year-old boy named Jordan this past August in Oklahoma City who was approached and played the three wish game. And 9-year-old Jordan was asked, if you had three wishes, what would you wish for? This bright 9-year-old boy, full of love, answered immediately on live TV. Here are the three wishes of 9-year-old Jordan in Oklahoma City: to have a family and a family and family. Those are the only wishes I have. 9-year-old Jordan is an orphan. He's been in foster care for 6 years. Countless times he's moved from home to home to home. He's now in a group home. And this sweet 9-year-old boy, not Disney, not to meet some star athlete. I just want a family. He looked at that Oklahoma TV station, stared right into the camera, and the last thing he said was, I hope one of y'all will pick me. Jordan is just a kid, just a child, who is looking for a family, who is looking for a home. He just wants someone to love him. And he's not alone in that. There's an estimated 153 million orphans around the world. There is an orphan tragedy, an orphan emergency going on around us. And who will be the answer to Jordan's wish? Who will be the answer to these orphans' prayer? Who will hear their call for help and their call for hope? How does God feel about children? How does God feel about all these orphans? How are you and I, as God's people, supposed to treat children and treat orphans? Today, we join churches all over the world in observing Orphan Sunday. Today is the day we talk about God's love, and we talk about children and orphan care. Part 3 of our series called Go on this Orphan Sunday is We Go to the Vulnerable with Love. We go to the vulnerable with love. This series called Go is a 5-part series about your part, my part, and God's plan. Go is one of our 4 vision words. We gather, we grow, we go, all to glorify the Lord. In this series, we are saying that every believer has a part to play in God's plan for this world, and you and I both have a part to play when it comes to orphan care, when it comes to loving children. Our faith is to be an active faith that moves us forward as we follow Jesus. We go for the glory of God. November 2nd of 2014 was the first Orphan Sunday we ever celebrated in our church's history. This is our 7th Orphan Sunday that we have celebrated and worshiped together. Now, let me say, when I say the word celebrate, not celebrating the issue of orphans and how heavy and hard that is, celebrating the fact that God has an answer to all this, celebrating worshiping Jesus on this day. This is our 7th time. Our church has a ministry called One Less Orphan. As a ministry of this church, many of you have been involved in this ministry over these last 7 years. You've prayed, you gave, you've loved, you've grown in your awareness. You support those that are fostering and adopting in our church family. You've been trained to foster, you have adopted. On this Orphan Sunday, we're going to look at the theme verse of One Less Orphan Ministry. I would invite you to open your Bibles to James chapter 1 as we observe and worship our Lord on this Orphan Sunday. Our theme verse for our ministry at First Arnold, called One Less Orphan, because every time a child is adopted, there's one less orphan in the world. Our theme verse is James 1:27. That's what we're studying today. God's word says this: pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In the Bible days, the most vulnerable people in society, and still that way today in many ways, are orphans and widows. This verse in James 1:27 has its roots in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah gives us a picture of what the life is to look like of someone who loves and obeys God. In the Old Testament, if you love and obey God, what is your life supposed to look like? Isaiah 1, 16 and 17 says, "Wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away evil of your doings before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good," in verse 17, "seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow." From the roots of Isaiah 1, 16, and 17, we have in the New Testament, James 1, 27, where again it says, pure and undefiled religion. That word religion there can be defined as worship. So pure and undefiled worship is to visit orphan and widows. That word visit is our go word. That word visit means to go and look after them and care for them. That word visit is an active word. We are to actively seek out the orphans and the widows, the most vulnerable among us, to love them and to care for them. So the Bible is teaching, what is pure worship before God? Pure worship before God is to actively seek and go after the most vulnerable people in our society. And many times that's the orphan and the widow, plus to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Let's look at that again. It's teaching us in James 1, 27, a believer that loves and obeys and worships God will have in their heart a personal purity and in their life an active public charity toward the most vulnerable in society. Don't cut off the end of verse 27. I've seen many orphan Sundays where people use this verse and they cut off and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Because the truth is, you can't take away purity from what it means to love the orphan. A person can cry and care about orphans, but if they have no integrity, no purity, no character in their own heart, they're not worshiping God. Why bring a child from the world into a home that professes Jesus if inside that home there is no character, no integrity, no purity? You really mess up the kid spiritually. I'm grateful in this verse it talks about widows. We have a wonderful widow ministry in this church led by our ladies. I'm grateful for Pastor Ray Frazier and his wonderful ministry with our senior adults. I'm grateful for every deacon in this church, how you love and care for our widows. I'm grateful for our small groups, how you love and care for widows in this church. I'm grateful how friends minister to friends in this church. So many things to meet the needs of widows in this church. We don't publicize it because it's done in confidence and in private, but I'm grateful for our ministry to widows. But James 1:27 also teaches us we're to have a heart like God's heart. We're to have a heart for the orphan. Listen to God's heart for the orphan. The very nature of God. In Hosea 14:3, it says, "For in you the fatherless find mercy or compassion." God's very nature is love and compassion for all, including the fatherless, the orphan. Look at the activity of God in Psalm 10, verse 14. It says, "But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your own hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are a helper of the fatherless." In verse 18, "a defender of the fatherless." The activity of God is the helper and defender of the orphan, from Psalm 10. The very name of God talks about the orphan. In Psalm 68, 5, it says this. It says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling," or his holy habitation. What's cool about this verse, this is one of the first times in the Bible that God ever calls himself Father. Now, previous verses, it says, "to the God of your father," but it didn't really God taking the label as Father. So God calls himself Father here, and one of the first times God ever calls himself Father, it is in reference to the orphan. We know in the New Testament, ultimately, any ministry we do to the widow or we do to the orphan or we do to anyone is not to people. Ultimately, the ministry we do is not to the orphan, it's to the Lord himself. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, "He will answer them saying, assuredly, I say to you, as much as you did unto the least of these," he said, "you did it for me." No one is forgotten by God. No one is unimportant by God. God loves the orphan. In the Bible, we see, I've just scratched the surface. We see over and over again, God loves the orphan. He has them close to his heart to help them and defend them. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, God calls us, he invites us to join him in loving and caring and defending the orphan in our society and in our world. I want to thank you first, Arnold, for your love for the orphan and your love for children. It's a great thing to pastor a church that loves young families and loves children. You think, doesn't every church do that? A lot of churches say they love young families and love children until you mess with their music or sit in their pew or make a mess somewhere or run down the aisles of the church. This church loves children. Amen? We love, yeah, give the Lord a hand. We love children in this church. If you don't love children, we're glad you're here, but you're never going to be happy in this church. Thank you, Next Generation Ministry. Thank you, Elevate Sports. Thank you, all of you who work in Awanas. Thank you, those of you, Operation Christmas Child. Our local and global partnerships. Thank you, those in our satellite ministries. Thank you, those who go love on kids at 15th Street in East St. Louis. Thank you, Apostles Church Plant. Thank you, those in West Africa and Haiti and Brazil. Thank you, those of you who sponsor children at a school in India, many of them orphans, the least reached area of the world. Thank you, church family, for our ministry partnerships, our own school, Firm Foundations, for our work in our public schools that we love, for the Missouri Baptist Children's Home of Abused and Abandoned Children, for Hand in Hand Pregnancy Center, loving children before they're born and loving them after they're born, Oasis International, loving refugees, many of those families, children from all over the world, thousands and thousands of missionaries you support every week in the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board. I could go on and on with your praying, your giving, your going, and your serving. Thank you for loving children. But today on Orphan Sunday, we're specifically turning our hearts towards the orphan. Let me share a little bit about this FBCA gospel-sponsored ministry. We have these One Less Orphan brochures that's out in the lobby in the kiosk. We normally would give one of these to every one of you, but we're not passing things out. But we would encourage you to get one of our brochures. Again, there's currently 153 million orphans in the world. Every 18 seconds, another child becomes an orphan. If all the orphans formed a country of their own, it would be the 10th largest nation in the world. There are 400,000 children in the United States foster care system and approximately 500,000 churches in the U.S. The foster care system would be wiped out if every church just was involved in fostering one child or adopting one child. It would be wiped out. And let's never forget on Orphan Sunday, the emotional orphans. There are children that have family, that have a home, but they are not loved. They are neglected and they are abused and they are emotional orphans. Each one, we hear 153 million and 400,000, but each one of these numbers represents a child that is fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Each one of these represent a child waiting for a family to love them and to care for them. Each one of these children is a child that Jesus loves and died for and can be saved someday and go with him to heaven. Each one of these children, God wants to use you and me in this church to love them and to bless them on this Orphan Sunday. Don't let the numbers overwhelm you. One orphan is important. One orphan matters. And we need to remind ourselves, no one can help everyone, but everyone can help one. All of us can care and help for one. The big picture of orphan care, why am I preaching this on a Sunday? Let's remember the big picture of orphan care. The big picture is that spiritually all of us were orphans at one time. You see, the Bible is clear, it's the gospel, that spiritually all of us in our sins were separated from our loving Heavenly Father. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and arose from the grave to set us free. Isn't it interesting in the Bible that salvation is described as two ways, being born into God's family and being adopted into God's family? In John 3, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. To enter this physical world, you've got to be physically born. To enter God's spiritual world, you've got to be spiritually born through a relationship with Jesus. You've got to be born into his family. But then the Bible describes salvation as being adopted into God's family. It's what it's teaching in Galatians 4:7, where it says we're adopted as sons. That's what it's teaching in Romans 8:15, where it says we receive a spirit of adoption. Physical orphans are innocent and helpless. Spiritual orphans, we are not innocent. We are guilty before a holy God of our sins and our disobedience, but we are helpless. We absolutely cannot save ourselves. God's love and God's grace and pity through Jesus look down upon us, and now when we get saved, we're born into God's family and adopted into God's family. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been adopted. You've been spiritually adopted and saved into God's family. That's why this matters. The great goal of today, the great goal of today is not to see if you will adopt a child. The great goal of today is that you would be adopted by God and be saved. That's the goal of this Sunday. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, come to Him, call upon His name. It's so important, we must be reminded every year on Orphan Sunday that our One Less Orphan ministry, hear me, church family, we are not a humanitarian adoption agency. I'm grateful for those folks. We are not a humanitarian adoption agency. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. John Piper said it like this: the deepest and strongest foundation of adoption is located not in humans adopting humans, but God adopting humans. The core of what we're about in orphan care is the fact that believers adopting orphans paints a picture to the world that God adopted us. We do all that we do in orphan care and fostering, all for the glory of God and all for the sake of the gospel. We spiritual orphans have experienced Christ's love and we have a heavenly home. Now we express Christ's love to the physical orphan to give them a physical home. As the body of Christ, all of us love each child that God brings into this church family, and we have the joy of pointing each and every child that God brings into this church family to Jesus and His saving love. The goal of our gospel-centered One Less Orphan ministry, yes, we want to see children adopted. We want one less orphan in the world. Always remember this: not all are called to adopt, but all are called to care. There are some in this church who have been and will be called to adopt and called to foster. It may be you. There are some in this church who have been and will be called to adopt, will be called to foster. It may be you. But all of us are called to love. All of us are called to support those in our church who do foster and adopt. All of us are called to pray for those in our church who do this. We are a body, we're a family, and when one family in this church adopts, when one family in this church fosters a child, guess what? All of us are doing it. We're all a part of that adoption as a church family. This church-wide care for orphans is a witness to our community that as we as a church family love on one child, it is showing this lost community what God wants to do in loving on them and changing their life. Our church-wide care for orphans, why this is so important, it's a reflection again of what Jesus did for us. I believe orphan care makes our hearts have a greater tenderness for others and for the beauty of the gospel. And I believe orphan care helps us all be more grateful for the grace of God and for His gospel. David Platt said this: orphans are easier to ignore before you know their names. They are easier to ignore before you see their faces. It is easier to pretend they're not real before you until you hold them in your arms. But once you do, everything changes. Our series is Go. What do we do next? The first thing to do is, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come to Him today. The second thing to do today is pray. Pray for God's will. The first thing to do is to open your heart. You will never open your home till you first open your heart. Let's all pray and align our hearts with God that we would care for children and the orphan the way that God cares for us. Another thing you can do today is generosity. The number one way that you impact orphans and children is through your weekly tithes and offerings as it touches the total ministry of our church. Thank you, church. You're very generous. You may also want to support the One Less Orphan Fund. Awareness and involvement. Go to the kiosk lobby and get one of these brochures. It tells different ways that you can get involved. If we run out, we'll get more for you. In the future, take an orphan care class. We have orphan care classes, orphanology from time to time. Be involved in all the FBCA ministries and missions. Every ministry we do, for the most part, all we do in missions in some way impacts the lives of children. Join our great next generation team that loves on from bed babies all the way to college students. Sponsor a child in India, a child in the least reached area of the world where 70% are illiterate, and they get for $1 a day an education, a meal, and Jesus. And we have well over 100 children sponsored by people in our church. Donna and I sponsor a little girl named Muskan. We started sponsoring her when she was in preschool. We've been with her a lot of years now. We're going to see her all the way through college. Number 5 is adopt and foster. Start the process. God may be calling you. support those who do adopt, be a part of our One Less team. I want to share with you by video a couple testimonies. These are all people from our church. You're first going to hear from Nathaniel Lauer, a young man who, I love him. He has been adopted, and he wants you to hear his side of that story. And then from Joe and Jen Russo, our leaders in our One Less Orphan ministry, their adoption story of Benji. Watch these videos with me.
My name is Nathaniel Lauer, and I am 15 years old. I was 2 weeks old when I entered foster care, but then about a month later, I returned home. But the state was always involved for the next few years. They took legal custody over me, but allowed me to continue living with my grandparents until about third grade, whenever they finally removed me from my grandparents' home and put me into a foster home. And then around that time, my dad stopped coming to our visits, and I was sad and confused and a little mad at him, because I knew at that point we weren't going to go home to live with our dad. So I was living with my cousins in Indiana, and they were going to adopt me, but they decided not to adopt me, and I was very sad. I had to move back to Missouri, and I got placed in a foster care home in Arnold. And 3 days later, my foster mom told me about the Lauers, who lived down the street, and they had a son my age and that I should go play with them. So I walked down the street and knocked on the door. I sat on the porch and talked to Isaiah for 3 hours, and after that I just kind of stayed. When I found out for sure that they were going to adopt me, I was very happy to know that I'd found my forever family. My adoption day was the second best day after giving my life to God, and it felt great to know that it was legally forever and that no one can change it. And I got to change my name and pound my own gavel on the judge's desk. I got to change my name, which is really cool, and I chose to change my last name because it was the family name and I was becoming part of the family. And I chose to change my first name because I wanted it to be a Bible name like the other kids were. And I had asked them make a list of the names that they would have chosen to give me at birth. And I chose Nathaniel because it means a gift from God, and I was a gift to them as they were a gift to me. Since my adoption day, it has been good because I've been happy, and I know that they will love me no matter what. Really fun to be a part of a big family. If I was to sit down with a family that's thinking about adopting, I would tell them to do it, because kids need families, especially Christian families that will point them to Jesus. And I would also tell them not to worry if it's going to be hard or if they're not going to be good enough, because God will help them through it all, and it is worth it.
Hi, we're Joe and Jen Russo.
And in 2017, we started foster care. We wanted to help out as many kiddos as we could. And if one was available, we wanted to adopt them through the foster care system. But God had something different for us and our family.
In September 2018, I received an email from a lady who was advocating for a little boy to be adopted. It was her son's best friend, and he was 12 years old at the time, had cerebral palsy. And in China, children get aged out of the system at 14 and are no longer able to be adopted. So she was advocating for this little boy to find his forever family before he turned 14 and aged out of the system. So I immediately wanted to get more information on him. So I got Benjamin's file, looked it over, and just knew that I felt like this is what God wanted for our family. We were supposed to move forward with adoption of this little boy.
I was a little more apprehensive and thought my wife was a little crazy for us to do this. There's no way. The agency gave us about 2 weeks to make a decision. And we prayed throughout the whole 2 weeks and thought, I still just didn't have a peace. And there was text messages from my wife throughout the day at work and phone calls and, hey, have you decided? Hey, have you decided? I was like, no, I've been praying about it. Still don't have a peace. That last day that we were supposed to give a response, I thought I'd give his biography another read. And I did. And then as soon as I read his birthday, it was February 28th, and he shared a birthday with my dad. And my dad passed away in 2012. And at that moment, I was brought to tears and immediately called my wife and said, okay, make the call. Let's do this.
But the funny thing was, is that a year later, we found out that the agency made a typo. So they don't actually share a birthday, but God knew what he was doing, and he knew exactly how to get Joe on board and tug at his heart. So it all worked out perfectly. So in November 2018, we started the adoption process. It took us about 14 months start to finish. The agency actually expedited everything because Benjamin was so close to aging out. So we had, the process at that time was taking about 2 years from start to finish, and we did it, like I said, in 14 months. So it moved pretty quick. There were some hiccups here and there, but the agency was really good about making sure that everything was corrected quickly and we could keep moving forward so we didn't have any issues time-wise. And then last Thanksgiving, we got a call from the travel coordinator with the agency, and he told us that we'd be traveling January 10th to go get Benjamin. So we started getting ready, getting travel stuff together and doing everything we needed to do. And we were all excited and ready. And then Christmas week, we get a call from the gentleman again, and he said, there's no way you can travel in January. It's Chinese New Year, and we won't be able to get you in and out and get all the paperwork processed in time. So we're gonna push you back to February. I believe it was February 3rd. So at that point, we were really worried because we would have literally signed the final adoption document. I believe it was about 3 days before Benjamin's birthday when he would have aged out. So there was like no wiggle room whatsoever if there were any issues or hangups. It was cutting it really close at that point.
Yeah, apparently during Chinese New Year, they shut down for a whole week. So that's why they said we weren't promised to come back. So we ended up getting the last phone call, and they said, you guys are good to go. So we left on January 10th. Mm-hmm. And we were expected to return on January 24th, 1 week in Beijing, 1 week in Guangzhou. On that day, a few days later, we went to the police station, and we had to expedite his passport for them to transport to Guangzhou so that we could bring it to the U.S. consulate. So close. There was about a 30-minute conversation with the translator and the police station, and they said that we couldn't, there's no way. Normally it takes about 2 weeks to get a passport. There's no way that we could do this. So after the 30 minutes, the translator came up to us and she says, okay. She kind of gave us that look like, we don't know. So we're like, okay, God, you got this. You've carried us this far. So approaching the deadline to get the passport done and onto the train, it needed to be there at midnight.
Midnight, mm-hmm.
The guide had to get it to the train station by midnight, and he got it there at 11:57, and it's just, yeah.
Yeah, so we got that phone call the next morning, first thing the next morning, saying, everything's a go, we have the passport in hand, you guys are going to be able to come home on time. So it was, I mean, there were so many people praying within the church and family and friends. So it was totally a God thing that everything worked out that way. So we spent 2 weeks in China, 1 week in Beijing. The next week we were in Guangzhou. When we were in Guangzhou, COVID hit China hard. That week, while we were in Guangzhou, China suspended all adoptions. And so people that were going to go get their children soon after that, they had to cancel all their plans, and they couldn't get their adopted kiddos right at that point. And a few days after we got back to the States, then all flights to and from China were suspended. So we literally, got Benjamin just in time and then Got out of China and got home just in time.
Yeah, because if we didn't leave when we were supposed to, we would have got stuck, or we would have gotten the corona, or he would have got aged out. Because in China, they get aged out at 14. So that's why we were trying to expedite this whole process.
If we wouldn't have gone January 10th, if we would have gotten pushed back to February 3rd, we would have never got him. It would have just been done at that point. And we would have missed out.
Benjamin's home. He's been home for the last 10 months. He's going through virtual schooling. He's learned English. He hasn't been through the we haven't used much of the translator. He's got a Bible that is English and Chinese.
And he's been home 10 months. He's almost read through the Bible, the entire Bible, 2 times.
Yeah.
In those 10 months.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is. And we've brought him to church almost every Sunday. And I think it was about the 3rd or 4th month that he was home. I remember it because it was right before he went to bed. And he says, "Dad, I want to pray. I want to accept Jesus in my heart." And I said, "Wow, yeah, let's do that." I called Mom in and we prayed, and it was just a wonderful moment. So he has come so far in 10 months.
Like Joe said, he doesn't need a translator anymore. He can hold full conversations in English. He's doing virtual learning, but he's mastered the computer. He's getting all the concepts down in school in all of his classes. He's getting A's. He's doing just absolutely amazing. And it's cool to see where he's come from in 10 months.
So God worked everything out on this adoption, and we are excited to have Benjamin in our household. His hand was through the whole situation, the bumps, the roller coaster rides, the challenges, the ups, the downs, everything. And God decided to send another blessing, and Jen is 6 months pregnant.
Yeah, if you would have told us a year ago that we would have gained a teen and a newborn in a year's time, we would have thought you were crazy. But we are so excited and just amazed at what God has done in his perfect timing and the grace and love that he's shown us. It's just been amazing.
Come on now, isn't that great? Ellen and Nathaniel may have said they look familiar. It's because they were standing right here. They're going to Liberia, West Africa as part of that team church. Thank you. Thank you for loving children. Thank you for loving the orphans. Thank you for all the children's ministries. After this past week, it's just refreshing to be reminded of Jesus and his love and children and what God's doing around the world. And I'm just so grateful for you. Our 9-year-old Jordan in Oklahoma City, who had 3 wishes and he wanted a family, a family, and a family. Well, that was broadcast live, and within a week, there were 10,000 requests of people wanting to get involved in his life. And the Oklahoma Department of Human Services says, little 9-year-old Jordan's wish is going to come true. He's going to be adopted. Isn't that good? A child without a family is the most vulnerable person. I do this every year. You want to come read it, Donna? No. A child without a family is the most vulnerable person in all the world. Hey, kid, if you had 3 wishes, what would it be? Answer their wish. Answer their prayer. And you know what will happen? For the glory of God, there'll be one less orphan in the world.